Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
Jesus asks his disciples a question in Caesarea Philippi. Who do people say that I am? Now, is Jesus really concerned about who people think he is, or is he more concerned about who his disciples, the ones he has chosen and called, think he is and believe he is? Peter, kind of out of character, gives the right answer, but as we know, Peter's answers sometimes are a little quick, but he does recognize Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to teach a Sunday school lesson on Peter's confession of Christ in Matthew 16. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
Is it significant that Peter made this confession at Caesarea Philippi?
Caesarea Philippi, yes. That was a city in ancient Palestine, obviously. And it was also the site of a Hellenistic shrine to the god Pan, P-A-N. And then towards the end of the first century B.C., a temple was built by Herod the Great, and it was named in honor of the Roman Emperor Augustus Caesar. Now, he considered himself to be called God, and therefore that Jesus would ask that question in his city kind of helps us to understand that Jesus is making a point between who Augustus Caesar is and really who Jesus is. So that would have been a good location to ask such a question as to who really God is.
Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. What does that mean?
The Son of Man is found also in the Old Testament. It's one of Jesus' favorite expressions in referring to himself. And we find in Daniel 7, for example, God the Father, who is referred to as the Ancient of Days, sends what is referred to as the Son of Man, who is none other than Jesus himself, to earth to redeem the earth. That's his assignment. And of course, he was born of the Virgin Mary and began his ministry with the baptism from John the Baptizer, where he became sin for us. So it's very important that therefore he is the Son of Man as understood from the Old Testament in referring to the second person of the Trinity who became a man. He is the Son of God, but through the birth of the Virgin Mary, he is also Son of Man. And it was his favorite title, and Son of Man was necessary for him to be in order that he might suffer and die for the sins of the whole world.
Jesus asked his disciples for the answer to the question, who do men say that I am? Does Jesus care what the crowds think or who the crowds think he is?
I think you made a good point earlier that he's really wondering what his disciples know of him. The crowd was not being taught at the depth that the disciples were being taught. And in fact, the disciples even mention that from the crowd, they hear some are saying, he's John the Baptist, who must have been risen from the dead. In fact, there were leaders in Judaism that believe that. Others say he's Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So this is what they are saying. But he says to them, but who do you say that I am? And so I think from that question, he's more interested at this point what his disciples believe he is, or who do they say that Jesus is.
How could the people have mistaken Jesus for John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets?
Because they also had spoken the word of God in a similar way. John the Baptizer, repent. That was his main message. And then he even said, and one coming after me will also give you the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says very clearly that his mission is repentance and also to preach the gospel. So he had a similar message. And I'll tell you, when you read Jeremiah, for example, there and Elijah, they speak very clearly about the kingdom of heaven coming, and that that kingdom would be one in which sins are forgiven because of the death of a Savior. So Jesus' message sounds very much like that of Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, and therefore many would consider him to be a prophet.
How should we understand Peter's answer to the question, who do you say that I am, when Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, we're going to see later on that Peter doesn't even understand what he himself says there. It reminds me of, what was it, one of the high priests who talked about that there would need to be the death of someone to save Israel, and he wasn't even aware that he was talking about Jesus. When Peter says, you are the Christ, that is the word Christ, the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. And of course, they were looking for the Messiah who would be related to God as the Son of the living God. But Peter himself, at that point, we don't believe, thought that Jesus was God, because when there was that terrible possibility of a ship, a boat that they were on, that it was going to be drowned in the water, getting flooded by the wind and the wave, Jesus stood up, calmed the wind and the wave with words, and then the disciples say, who is this man? So they may have considered him to be the Christ. And this did not come also out of the mind of Peter, because Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, that's Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I just finished an adult instruction class, and we had a confirmation Sunday. And what I found interesting, though the person was not Lutheran, she knew quite a bit about the Bible. And so a lot of times she would give the right answer to questions I was asking, but did not understand the full implications even of her own answer. Like, she believed that Jesus was God, the Father was God, the Holy Spirit was God, but did not have that good an understanding until confirmation came about of what the Trinity means, three in one, etc. So it's not at all unusual that people will say things and not really understand the full interpretation of that and the insights that the Bible gives toward this. And it appears, yes, Peter, from the Father, he heard and knew that Jesus was the Christ. But as we're going to see, he did not have the proper view of Christ, who would come to die on the cross and be raised from the dead.
So, you've mentioned part of Jesus' response to Peter's confession. He also says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That's not easy to understand. How do we figure that out?
Yes, there is a church, Roman Catholic, who believes that when Jesus says this, "You are Peter, and on this rock," the word for Peter and the word for rock sound similar. Petros, Petra. The trouble is the genders are different. And so Peter is referred to as the rock, but when Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church," he doesn't say, "On you I will build my church," but on this rock. And what's the rock? It's the confession that Peter had just given, that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says, on that confession, the church will be built, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, those who are Christians will come to an understanding of the true meaning of "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and therefore, even Satan and hell will not prevail against those of us who have faith and believe the true understanding of those words, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus mentions there?
Yes, in verse 19, he says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." The first key is, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." The second key is, "Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What's Jesus talking about? Well, keys are used to lock and unlock. The first key is used for binding or locking the gates of heaven. And this is a warning that no sinner should dare take sin lightly. In other words, apart from faith, heaven will be locked for you. It has nothing to do with your works. You can't save yourself by your works. In fact, your works don't make a difference as to whether or not you go to heaven or hell. In other words, faith makes the difference. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that specifically means believing the gospel promises of the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and so forth, then the key to heaven is opened. And a pastor will say, upon this your confession, we do this in church, it's called the Annunciation of the forgiveness of your sins. And he says, "By your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce by the grace of God and by his authority that your sins have been forgiven." Now, the pastor makes very clear, it's upon the confession that you have made concerning repentance of sin and belief in Jesus Christ. That's how the keys to heaven open up heaven. And apart from that confession of faith, then heaven is closed to those who are unbelievers.
So after all this, Jesus asks for an answer to the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter gives the right answer. Why does Jesus command his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ?
Yes. Jesus, from the very beginning of his ministry, was definitely under threat of being killed. And he had to have time to share the message. Like when he first met with Mary and Martha, you'll remember Martha was all busy about cooking a meal, and she got angry at Jesus for not telling Mary to help her. But then when Lazarus died, obviously Martha had heard more from Jesus because she says, I know he will rise on the last day. But Jesus was talking about his resurrection that day when he went to the tomb. So there was still much for the people to learn. And the Pharisees were always looking for some way to trick Jesus into saying something. Remember, they sent a lawyer to him, trying to ask him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, of course, answered, oh, you want to do something? You'd have to obey the commandments. And so Jesus was very careful in being in situations where he would not be put to death too early, because when the fullness of time came, that's when he went to the cross. And that's when he began to tell his disciples, don't tell anyone I am the Christ, because he now had to teach them what was going to happen very soon.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Peter's confession of Christ in Matthew chapter 16. When we return, we're going to talk about how, having made this great confession, Peter does not understand what the Christ has come to do. For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues, etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled 2, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Easter hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Concordia University Chicago grounds students in objective truth, integrity, and excellence, and practices faithfulness to the confessional teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is Dr. Eric Ankerberg, Provost at CUC. Please consider joining our faculty community. We currently have openings for Dean of the College of Business and for Director of our new nursing program. And soon we will also begin a search for the new Dean of the College of Education. Learn more on the employment page at cuchicago.edu.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Peter confessing Christ in Matthew chapter 16. Our guest is Pastor Tom Baker, host of Law and Gospel. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. the Magnificat, Isaiah 11, the titles of Christ, good news of great joy. These are a few of the themes of Ad Crucem's beautiful Christ-centered Christmas cards. Learn more at adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com. So, Tom, after Peter has made this confession, Jesus predicts his death. Why does he do that?
Actually, this is the beginning of that prediction to the disciples. This is the 16th chapter of Matthew. So it took some time before Jesus explained what his real purpose was. It says in verse 21, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem." That was a necessity. "And suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Now, almost all the translations talk about that. He says he will be killed. That is a wrong English version. He's not going to be killed. He's going to give up his life himself. Not only did the Roman soldier say, "Boy, this must be the Son of God for him to have power over his own death." But Pontius Pilate was really surprised that he had died so early. So he dies because it is finished. Every prophecy had been fulfilled. And then he says, "But on the third day, he will be raised." Now, I'll tell you, there's only a few people who believed the words of Jesus. One of them was that woman who put oil over Jesus, and Jesus says that was for his burial. She believed that he would die as he said he would. And how did Jesus know he was going to die and rise on the third day? Well, all of that is in the Old Testament. He knew it would be a crucifixion because in Psalm 22, he's pierced in hands and feet, and other things involving the crucifixion, such as a whipping and other sufferings that Isaiah talks about. So it's also possible in his prayers to the Father that he heard some of this revelation from his own father. And therefore he says, "I'm going to die, but I will be raised on the third day." That's interesting because Jesus raises himself. In other words, he has power to put down his life and he has power to raise it. And that's the work of Jesus. There's no doubt that the Father and the Holy Spirit contributed to the resurrection, but only he did the crucifixion. The Father did not suffer, nor the Holy Spirit, nor did they die. But Jesus, as a human being, suffered and died. Now, Peter hears, "And you will be raised." But it seems like his ears are deaf to that, because he takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." In other words, Peter thinks that he'll be able to protect Jesus, or because of Jesus' reputation among many of the people, there is no way that he is going to die. In other words, Peter doesn't really understand the confession he himself had just given by the power of the Father, "You are the Christ," because the Christ is one who is to come to suffer and die for the sins of the whole world and then be raised 3 days later. Jesus knew that because when asked for a sign, the only sign was that of Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and then was expelled. And similarly, Jesus would be in the grave for 3 days and then be expelled. So when Peter says to Jesus, "No way, Lord, this isn't going to happen to you," Jesus says something to Peter that probably surprises a lot of readers. He turns to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, is he saying that Peter is Satan? No, but he's saying that what Peter just said is part of Satan's message. Jesus isn't going to die. He's not going to rise from the dead. And therefore, when you deny what Jesus says, you become a hindrance to the ministry. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." And then he explains to Peter why he's a hindrance. "For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." In other words, he's thinking according to his old Adam, his sinful self, and his new man, which Peter has, because he does recognize something really special in Jesus, has not matured to the point where he understands fully what he himself confessed.
So in time, Peter will come to see not only that what Jesus predicts is true, but why Jesus needed to go into death and rise again for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. But in the meantime, what do we say about his faith? He acknowledges Jesus to be the Christ. He's commended for it. But obviously, he's also rebuked very strongly for failing to understand this.
Every one of us are rebuked by Jesus daily. As we confess in the holy worship service, we have sinned by not just deed, but also by thought and by word. In other words, our sins become a hindrance to God's message. I was talking about that persecution is a promise from God that will happen to us when we do ministry, when we tell others about Jesus, because many people hate to hear about the law and they don't think they need the gospel. And I made the point that if you aren't being persecuted in some way, perhaps you are not really sharing the message with those with whom you have an opportunity to do so. And so the message of the sermon is to preach, to be awake, to be ready in faith, to tell others about what you believe about Jesus, even though you will be persecuted, but that will become a blessing to you, for of such is the kingdom of God. So all of us fall short of a perfect understanding and a complete understanding of, say, the Bible. Law and gospel, I've been doing this for decades, and I think I know about maybe on a level of out of 10, I may be around a 5 or a 6. I know some professors that I feel are around an 8. Jesus was a 10 out of 10. But we continue to learn, and that's why we seek the scriptures. At any time, we can become a hindrance to Jesus by our sin. But as we repent of that sin, as we plead for forgiveness, God promises to give us the forgiveness through the absolution, because then the gates of heaven are opened for us.
So to confess Jesus to be the Christ means to confess what specifically about Jesus? Not simply that he is an anointed one from God, but what is the proper confession of Jesus as the Christ?
Yes, the proper confession is understood as Jesus did by looking at the Old Testament to recognize that this Christus, this Messiah, is one who is going to die for the sins of the whole world. but yet be raised for our justification. So 1 Corinthians 15, about the resurrection of Jesus, is a wonderful passage to understand the true meaning of who Jesus as the Messiah is.
When we're teaching this to the Sunday school children, and we ask that question, who do you say Jesus is? How should we teach them to answer that question for themselves?
Jesus is not only someone who did something for himself and his Father. He did it for us. And I would always tie in baptism in talking to the children to help them to understand that in baptism, Jesus has given the promise that not only are their sins forgiven, but they have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Heaven is open, and at the very moment that they leave this earth, their spirit will be with Jesus, awaiting the time when their body will be rejoined with their spirit in heaven, because the doors of heaven have been opened from the promises that Jesus gives in holy baptism.
So should we also note for the Sunday school children that this same Peter who confesses rightly, then is rebuked for misunderstanding his own confession, eventually goes on to become, at least in the book of Acts, the first and chief proclaimer of the true Christ?
Yes, there's no doubt, but we also see that Peter continued to be a sinner. Recall that Jews had come from Jerusalem and to visit with Peter, who was with Gentiles, and Peter refused to eat with the Gentiles while the Jews were there together. And Paul had to reprimand him. So Peter kind of had hoof in the mouth disease again and again that all of us have as we sin by thought, word, and deed, and therefore we get in the way of the message of Jesus Christ. But that can be overtaken by our witnessing to our children, to our family, to our relatives, perhaps at our business, to our neighbors, etc., and use the opportunities when a person really needs help out of the darkness of unbelief to come to the light of Christ's gospel.
Finally, then, what is the simple law and gospel in this lesson?
The law is God can accuse us often of doubting Christ's identity as my true God and Savior. Something will happen to me that is bad, and how am I going to get out of this situation? And we forget that we ought to be praying to Jesus, who will therefore get us through, as he promised, all things will work together to our good. And then the gospel is, it is the Holy Spirit who has revealed to me Christ's true identity as my Savior. And that is revealed as I hear the word preached, as I read the word, as I study the word of God, and particularly when I receive the sacraments that God has given to me with the promises connected of salvation forever.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Tom, thank you.
And thank you.
Friday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss what I wish my non-Lutheran family knew about worship. Our guest will be Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and we'll have Dr. Ken Sherb lead us in a teaching on the season of Advent. So while Jesus does rebuke Peter and say, "Get behind me, Satan," he does not leave Peter or the other disciples or us back there with Satan, but he goes to the cross and reveals himself to be the true Christ, the true Savior of all sinners. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues, Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.